welcome to the Empower Church podcast. My name's Matt Garner, and I'm the pastor at Empower Church here in Melbourne, Australia. We're so glad you've joined us today, and I am believing that today's message is not only going to inspire you and encourage you, but it's going to empower, equip, and challenge you to be everything that God has called you to be. Hey, if you want more information about what we're up to at Empower Church, just jump on our website, empowerchurch.co, and all the details are there. We really hope that you enjoy the message.
Just stand up for a few more minutes. Simon didn't say sit down. Oh, you can sit if you want. I don't really mind, but if you got the energy to stand, you can do that. If you don't, have a nap. It's all good. Hallie, you can stand up. Thanks. No naps for you, mate. Call out your kids, pastors. That's what they do. Good times. Well, we're just going to spend two to three minutes this morning just continuing to just pray. One of the things that I like to do is just pray when we come to the Word and really ask the Lord for the grace to receive what He wants to speak to us and what He wants to do. Because I believe that God profoundly wants to speak to us this morning. I believe He does every day, and often the limitation is our hearts are not engaged, our spirits are not engaged with what God's doing. God's doing something amazing. He is amazing. And so I don't know about you, but I want to continue to grow. I want to continue to grow into the image of Jesus. I'm not interested in growing in the style of a church or growing in the style of a denomination. I'm interested in becoming more like Him. And I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I know for me, I need the Holy Spirit. Jesus said I was going to send a helper. And what do we need help with? We need help to become more like Him. And so I've asked Sharon to come back because I just believe, you just got something on you, man. So if out of the front of house, waking, if you can just crank these two up. And we're just going to pray. And Sharon's going to minister over us as he plays, him and Josh. It's just going to open up something in the spiritual atmosphere this morning. And so what I want you praying today is, God, here's my heart. Come on, humble yourself before Him. Young, old, doesn't matter how long you've been in church for. God, here I am. Would you speak to me? Change me. And so come on, let's do that. Let's pray. Go for it. Just thank you, Lord. Give us a grace to receive, Father. Give us a grace, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just open your mouth, begin to pray. Father, let our lives glorify you. Let our lives glorify the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we need your help this morning. Father, some of us, our hearts are hard and we humble ourselves before you today. Some of us, Father, our minds, we have blockages. We have a whole lot of things that are a part of the story and the narrative of our life. And we humble ourselves before you today and we ask for the grace to receive your word. We ask for the supernatural grace to be able to receive from you today. And we really do, Father, we humble ourselves before you. You are a mighty God. Who is man that you would think of him? And so, Lord, we pray, Father, right now for an open heaven over this auditorium right now. We pray for an open heaven over this auditorium right now. Father, may the name of Jesus be glorified. May the name of Jesus be glorified in my life, Lord, in my heart, Father, in my thoughts, Lord, in my will, Father, in my emotions, Lord, in this church service be glorified, in our communities be glorified, in my home be glorified, through this music be glorified, Father, in schools in this region be glorified, Jesus, in this university campus be glorified. glorified. Father, on the job, be glorified. In my studies, be glorified. In my business, Father, and my workplace, be glorified. Holy Spirit, we're asking for your help today because we want to be a generation that glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want the name of Jesus to be elevated so high that they don't think about a name, they don't think about anything else but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today, Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would arrest hearts. I'm asking that you would touch mine, that you would shift something in me from the inside out. And we give you all the glory today. The wonderful name of Jesus is what we set our affections on, of what we yield to and we surrender to. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. Thanks, guys. You may be seated in heavenly places. Praise the Lord. So good to see you all. We started at 9 this morning and I thought, well, it's going to be 5 people in church this morning. But it was a chilly one and we're glad you're here. I don't know what to call this message today, but I want to just really continue some thoughts and hopefully really lay a foundation as we just continue to mature as believers and followers of Jesus. It's super important for us that we realize that God hasn't destined us to be powerful in this room alone. God has destined us, and there is a calling on your life to be someone that moves and knows the Holy Spirit and understands that God wants to use you, and he wants to use you powerfully. And so as we are, on this journey, a big part of this journey is really asking you just quite simply, where is your personal relationship at with Jesus? When was the last time you encountered the presence of the Holy Spirit in an overwhelming or a life-changing way? When was the last time you opened, maybe it's a little bit more simple for you, maybe the question really is when was the last time that you opened your Bible and said, God, speak to me? When was the last time you closed the door, shut the curtains or pulled down the blinds and said, Lord, here I am? And begin to pray, maybe for yourself or your family or just to be with the Lord. Because when we were sitting in worship, a thought came to me around, we don't want to be devoted attendees. We want to be devoted followers of Jesus. And so everything that we're trying to call out around taking up your cross and following hard after the Lord, only a very small part of it is connected to what happens here on a Sunday. The most of what it is connected to is you understanding that God has a purpose and a plan for you to manifest the kingdom of God through your life. That God wants to raise you up and cause you to rise in this time as a literal sign and wonder to your world that need to know about the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? Amen. That God wants to use you. And so today I want to lay a bit of a foundation. We're going to read a lot of scriptures today. I want to encourage you to get your phones out, take some notes. You might want to take some photos of the scriptures because there's going to be a few bank of different scriptures that we go through. But that'll be wonderful. You know, when I received the call of God as a 15-year-old, it wasn't really just to preach. But whenever the call of God comes, I'll speak personally for a moment. The call of God came to me, not just around preaching. Preaching was just going to be one of the platforms that I've learned that God was going to use for me in displaying and releasing his power in the earth. But ultimately, when God called me, God actually called me just like he called you. And a significant part of that call was around, Matt, I want to raise you up to release my kingdom, to release my power in the world. And I want to suggest to you today that that is a really significant part of your call. That is a significant part of what God has called you to do, is to be a release of His power. As I mentioned, for me, preaching was just one of the ways. But I recognize that God has called me to affect change in the earth, to have spiritual dominion in regions over principalities and powers. That God has called me not just to preach and see power, but to be a witness for Him of His goodness, of His love, and of His power wherever we go. And so one of the things that frustrates me about my own Christianity, as I survey the church in the West in general, I see a lot of preaching, but not a lot of power. And so I'm certainly not sitting here on a soapbox suggesting that I've arrived and that you should come with me and try to attain to the lofty heights that I've attained, because I humble myself before you this morning and say that I am on a journey, saying I don't want to just be a preacher that prepares a message every single Sunday. I want to be someone that sees the power of the Holy Spirit move with an undeniable force. And so like the Apostle Paul said, I have not yet attained the thing that God has put in me, but I press on regardless. No matter what it takes, our churches cannot be committed to entertaining Christians anymore. We must be committed to raising up a bride that Jesus is looking for. We must be committed to raising up believers that know how to, when they are attacked in a terrorist attack, reach their hand out even though they've got wounds inflicted on them and pray and forgive and release the love of Jesus. We must be a generation, we must be a church that are devoted and committed to raising up believers that realize that persecution may come, but it won't shake their faith, because their faith is not built on the things of this world, but it is built on the solid rock, a firm foundation, Jesus Christ Himself. And so God, I believe, is wanting us to rise in this time. And I want you to write this question down. It's a really simple one. It probably needs a bit of context in today's message. But what does that mean for you? Are you asking the Lord, what does this mean for me? I'm saying, God, I don't want to just live like this forever. Make me more like You. Make me more like You. And so that is my desire, and I believe it should be the desire of the church today to be a witness of the Lord Jesus in the earth. Not just of morality, but of power. Not just of word. Paul said the kingdom of God, I didn't bring it in just word. I brought it in a demonstration of power. And I believe what the world is looking for, they are waiting. All creation is waiting for the church of Jesus Christ to be a manifestation of the fullness of who He is in the earth. Do you feel this morning? And God is not looking to a preacher. He is not looking to a church leader. He is not looking to someone that's on staff or someone that has a theological degree. He is looking for you. He is looking, His eyes, the Bible tells us, prophetically are looking to and fro. And He is looking for someone that is available to take up His call. And that call, God is not inviting you to wear Saul's armor. God is inviting you to release the kingdom of God through the very unique skill set that He has been developing in you behind closed doors. So please don't get caught in the culture trap of trying to be the latest preacher, trying to sound like the what you think successful Christianity looks like. Realize that God wants to raise you up, and God, Jesus Himself said, just come as you are. Just come broken. When Jesus was choosing His disciples, He wasn't looking for the latest pop star. He didn't go searching for who's the influencer of my generation. He wasn't looking for the athlete or trying to find Hercules. He wasn't looking for someone with my physique. Come on, somebody. He wasn't looking, just making sure you're listening. He was looking for what the world rejected. He was just looking for someone that had a heart. And so you might have disqualified yourself. You might have disqualified yourself, but I don't care. And I mean that respectfully this morning. I speak under the unction of the anointing of God right now to shift something over your life in this very moment, because I don't care how broken you are this morning. I don't care how bound in sin you may feel today. I don't care the secret life that you're living. I want to declare to you today that if you would just humble yourself and if you would repent and you would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, Jesus can raise up a rock to praise him. So I want to tell you today that he can use your life for his glory. But it happens with surrender. Happens with surrender. And a part of that surrender and a part of the life that we're called to live comes, I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus said to Peter, when Peter has a revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the Messiah. And Jesus turns to Peter and says, Peter, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And there is a place in your walk with God that God wants to bring you into. It's an invitation, by the way, where he wants to bring you into a space where you're not just living by what you receive through flesh and blood, but there are secrets and there are mystery and there is destiny and there is purpose that God wants to release to you. And it only comes by the Holy Spirit. And I believe that there is an invitation to us as Empower Church. I believe that there is an invitation to us quite simply as followers of Jesus. That he's going, I want to bring you into a place where you're not exclusively leaning on flesh and blood, but there's a place in God's Spirit, there's a place in the kingdom, there's a place in your spirituality and your devotion to Jesus where God wants to speak to you, where he wants to reveal mysteries to you. There's a realm, realms of power and glory, there's realms of authority that only come from God. They only come from God. In other words, they don't come from flesh and blood. They don't come from intellect and reason. They come by the Holy Spirit. And so God has released all these promises to us. And I want to read some of them. You might want to clap at the end of these because they're powerful. I'll just leave that with you. But I want to talk to you about the power of these promises that God has released to you. You ready for this? Because what I want you to see today is that I suppose the question that I'm wanting to ask and the question that I'm wanting for you to engage with today is, how do we obtain promises that are spiritual and transport them to the physical? Does that make sense? How do we transport that which Jesus has paid for? And how do we see those things manifest and become a reality of our everyday life? Are you with me? Just turn to your neighbor, give him a nudge, say, wake up. Let's read some of the promises of God, all right? This is going to blow your mind. You're going to know most of these, or some of them at least. Jeremiah 29:11. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Oh, don't let me preach this morning. It's too early. But if you're living here without hope, if you're living here without destiny, if you're living here without purpose, you need to know that God has a plan for your life. I thank God that by His grace and grace alone, as a 15-year-old kid, I discovered the purpose of God for my life. God has a plan for you. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Jesus Christ." If you have needs today, there is a promise in Jesus that He is able to meet all of His needs according not to the riches of this world, something far greater, the riches of His glory in Jesus Christ. Isaiah 41 verse 10, it says, "Do not fear." Anyone lived with fear? Anyone experienced fear before? Give me a quick wave if that's you. This is a promise for you. Maybe you've applied it before. "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous hand." Man, God, here's another promise, has not given you a spirit of fear. He has not given you a spirit of fear. And you know what? How do we get rid of a spirit of fear? Through the presence of the Holy Spirit. The antidote to fear is the presence of God. Yeah? It's the presence of Jesus. Matthew 18, 28, 29. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." Anyone been wearied and burdened before? Give me a wave. We're participating this morning. Well, this is a promise for you. Praise the Lord. Right? "I will give you rest." Thank God. God advocates sleeping in. Come on, somebody. My daughters would be proud of them. "Take my yoke," or "my way, upon you." And Isaac's taught brilliantly on this last week. "And learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." There is a place through the cloudiness and the fogginess and the anxiety that is in your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotion. In Jesus, there is a place of rest. By the Spirit, you can access that place. Romans 8, 28. "For we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose." So if you've got crazy stuff going on in your life, you can lean back on the promise. You don't need to live in anxiety and fear. You can lean back on it and go, "Whilst I don't understand the circumstances right now, I have a confidence in Jesus that He will work, although He will work for the good of those who love Him." That's what God is doing. God is working in the background. Somebody say amen. While hell seems to be, while Jesus is being crucified and the disciples are hiding in a room, John chapter 20 verse 19 says, "And they stood with, they shut themselves in a room because of fear of the Jews. While they were fearing, Jesus was resurrecting." God is always doing something on the other side of the hardship that you are facing right now. You've got a diagnosis, you've got something going on. Don't make me get off this stool and preach at you this morning, because I feel faith in my spirit today. But let me tell you today, while something's happening on the, can we just go there? Come on, somebody. The Lord's taking my mind into the story of Abram as he leads up one side of the mountain, Mount Moriah, to sacrifice his son Isaac. By God's divine hand, a ram is being led divinely up the other side without any knowledge that Abraham has at that time. Abraham is just living in obedience, but God is orchestrating something, a miracle. God is orchestrating a way out. God is orchestrating a breakthrough by leading a ram that's going to get caught in a specific bush in a specific time for a specific reason to deliver and to make a breakthrough for Abraham. And I want to prophesy and declare to you today that if you can only maybe only able to see one side of the mountain right now, and it's full of pain and heartache and sorrow and fear, but I want to tell you today that God's got a ram coming up the other side for you. Somebody praise God for that this morning. 2 Corinthians 2:9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. We got to keep going. There's power for you. Isaiah 40, 31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. There's strength for you. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. Man, in a world where people are... I said this the other week and I didn't say it in the right way. I said people are dying from anxiety all the time, but what I meant is a lot of illness is associated and connected to anxiety and fear. And I just want to tell you today that as a follower of Jesus, there is a way out of anxiety and there is a way out of fear. And it doesn't make you a less Christian if you experience anxiety and fear. That's not what I'm saying, or other mental health issues or whatever issues it might be. I'm just trying to help you to see today. Like, see it like this. It's like every now and then, like I had a sinus infection for a few weeks. It didn't make me a less Christian, even though Jesus, by his stripes, has paid the price for that viral infection to not be there. It doesn't make me less of a man of God because I experienced a sinus infection, just like it doesn't make you less of a follower of Jesus because you experience anxiety and fear at times. But friend, there is a place in God. It's about what and how we respond. Maturity is not determined by a perfect life. It's determined by how we respond to the attacks of the enemy, whether it's fear or other. Does that make sense? Anyway, peace. He's got peace for you. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understandings, and in all your ways submit to him, and he'll make your path straight. That's a promise. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. We don't have time to read all these. Grace, let's go to Mark chapter 16, 17. And these signs, great, yep, she's there, will accompany those who believe in my name. Oh, you're going to love this one. You might get a bit excited. In my name, they will cut. So these signs will accompany who? Read it. Those who believe. If that's you, say that's me. That was bad reading, but anyway. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hand. Don't necessarily do that. Maybe it's metaphorical, I'm not sure. They will drink deadly poison. Stay away from mushrooms in Victoria. It will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. They will get well. That is a promise of God. To who? To those that believe in his name. When we're saying Jesus, Jesus, and when we're singing that song, we are also worshiping him. But God, in a symbiotic, reciprocal type of nature, God is blessing us and building faith in us, saying, in my name, you'll cast out demons. In my name, I need you to know that every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, that you have authority over all things. Acts 2:22, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. Jesus modeled a lifestyle of miracles. Why did he model a lifestyle of miracles? Right? Well, it's found in the next promise. John 14, 12, very truly I tell you, these are red letter words in your Bible. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. Oh my, are you asleep today? I'm about to jump out of my skin. Whoever believes in me, that's me, will do the works I've been doing. Not just that, check this out. And they will do even greater than these because I am going to the Father. Take a photo of those. We're going to leave the rest for now. And so the question that we are endeavoring to answer, or at least engage with today as the church, is why does my life not reflect some of these promises? And how do I, as a follower of Jesus, what are the things, Holy Spirit, that you need to teach me of how I can obtain these promises? How do I take the finished work of Jesus and everything that coincides and goes along with that, that by his grace we are beneficiaries of, how do I, as a follower of Jesus, see the realities of heaven manifest on earth? The Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. That place of being seated at the right hand of the Father indicates that he has completed his work. I believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he reversed the curse that happened through sin, and we have all access and power has been delivered back to us that Adam lost in the garden. And so if that is the case, our work in as kingdom believers, as followers of Jesus, is now to manifest and participate in God's work by making the earth Eden again. By seeing the perfection that he created manifest in the earth. You say, Matt, how do I know if it's the will of God? Well, let me say it like this. Like some of us ask that, like, I'm getting this desire to pray for this or this thought. Should I do this or shall I do that? And let me say it like this. Anywhere that you see in your life that doesn't represent heaven on earth, God has a work for you to do in that place. So one of the reasons why the kingdom of God and the gospel is really about the poor, the marginalized, the broken, and why we should be endeavoring on a regular basis to minister to the needs of our community and our church family, et cetera, is because they are places that don't represent heaven on earth. And so anytime you see something that doesn't represent heaven on earth, you need to be asking the Holy Spirit. Might not be for you all the time to go and meet that need, but you should be asking the Holy Spirit, God, what do you want me to do in this case? What have you got? How can you use me, right? We've read all these promises. Let's read Psalm 78, verse 41. It says, yet again, they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. That's incredible, really, when you think about it. They tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember, everyone say remember. They did not remember his power. The day when he redeemed them from the enemy, when he worked his signs in Egypt. This scripture, in a way, almost seems inconsistent with the sovereign power, with the almightiness, I made that word up, of God. He is an almighty God, yet he is limited. And so, for the next 5 minutes, I just want to delve into how these limitations happen, okay? Can we do that for just a few more minutes? How these limitations happen. Why does my life not represent what I would say I believe? Okay? And so a few weeks ago, I started talking about the mind. And I want to talk a little bit more about that today, but really what I want to zoom in is this. I want to zoom in on the concept of primarily of the mind, but I want to talk about why God created us the way he created us, and hope that in the understanding and the revelation and the knowledge of understanding why he created us, it gives us an idea of how we are to operate, to see miracles, signs, wonders, to see the power of God move in our generation, to see alcohol and drug addiction reversed in our society, to cancel violence in a city. Can we believe God for that? Can we believe God that this will be a city that's just known like Jerusalem, a city of peace? Can we believe that this will be a city where schools are covered in the glory of God? Can we believe, can we ask the Holy Spirit that he would assign angels over this city, that he would sign angels of protection over this city, that the demonic agenda that has been released, that's been a specific assignment against Melbourne, would be cancelled in the name of Jesus? I believe it. I believe it. I believe it in the name of Jesus. And so We won't, for the sake of time, read all the scripture, but Grace is going to put it up on the screen in Genesis chapter 1, 27, because we've got to come back to what and how God created us. So we're going to read from, I believe it's Genesis 1, 26, and I'll just pull a few things out and then we'll go from there. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image," right? "According to our likeness, let him have dominion," right? So a part of being in the likeness of God is this one statement. Listen to what it says. So, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea." So a part of the likeness is dominion is connected to that. Now, I want to clarify this word dominion because Jesus redefined what dominion was. Because dominion is not to dominate someone else. Okay? Jesus said, if you want to be great, the key to that is humbling yourself and being a servant. And so he said the Gentiles lord it over one another. That's the way demonic leadership works, control and fear. Do this or else. But the way Jesus modeled dominion was through willing surrender to the Father's will. Yeah? And so, "Let us make man in our image. They're going to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created him. Check, this is interesting, just a side note. He created him. Remember, he's creating Adam right now. He creates him. He creates him. Well, let's just park that actually. Creates him, male and female. He created them. That's another lesson all by itself. Then God blessed them and God said, "Be fruitful and multiply." Let's skip down to chapter number 2 and let's read from verse number 3. "Then God blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." So we see that God has rested. We've reached the seventh day. God has created. God has created the earth. The earth has been created. Man has been created. Male and female, he has created them, right? Verse 4, this is the story. This is the history, or that word history is really the word generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, before any herb of the field had grown. For the Lord God had caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Verse number 7. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So I don't want to get too controversial or go too deep this morning, but what I want you to see today is I want you to see the two actions of God's creation of mankind. Remember, God has finished. Now, I'm not suggesting Genesis is a very poetic book, so I'm not theologically saying that necessarily there were two times where God created this and then later on God was like, "I'm going to now do this." But what I am suggesting to you is the Bible shows us that there were what I want to call today, for lack of better terminology, there were two actions to God creating. In Genesis 1, 27, he makes man in his image. What is the image of God? The image of God is also connected to the nature and the identity of God. And God makes man in his image as a spirit. That is who God is. He makes him in his image. Later on, which we just read, he takes that image and he puts it into the ground and he forms man. And the Bible tells us that he breathed into man. He breathed into mankind. He breathed into what he had formed. And the Bible says from that moment, mankind became a living being. A lot of scholars believe that is when man, spirit and body came together, whether it was all in one action or not. I wasn't there, so I don't know. But as we try to connect those two scriptures together, those two verses, one that happens in the 7 days and one that happens potentially after the 7 days, We see that God breathes his spirit into Adam. He breathes life into Adam. Scholars say that that is when, obviously, man became a living being. But what does that mean? That was when man gained and had his soul. All right, now we're going somewhere because we're wanting to look at how we were made. So man was created in the image of God as a spirit. God gave man dominion in order to exercise that dominion. He had to allow man to not just be made of his image, but also be made of the thing that he was going to have authority over. There's a spiritual law, you can research it yourself, it's called the law of territory. And it suggests that you can't have spiritual or you can't have authority over something that you are not made of. Okay, I know this is deep for a Sunday morning, but we're going to land somewhere good in a moment, right? And so man is primarily a spirit. I want you to see it like this because we're talking body, soul, spirit, right? Man is created in the image of God primarily as a spirit. Okay, I'll ask the question like this. Beck and Isaac and others have recently had babies. Where was the spirit of their child before it was born? With God, thank you. Who said that? Someone's over this way. So my point is God has completed creation. He is not going to create another human spirit. They've all been created. They're currently with God. Okay? And so we are primarily spirit. God puts us in a container that we call the body. Now, the Bible spends more time talking about the spirit and the soul than it does the body. It's not because the body has no value or importance. It's because the body is really the vessel. It is the container. It follows the orders of the spirit and the soul. Where I believe that this gets confusing, if it isn't already confusing right now, is that when we talk about spirit, soul, and body, really what we are asking you to do is we're asking, how do we transport what God has done in a spiritual realm into a physical realm? So we talk about a tripartite body, spirit, soul, body, image of God, Father, Son, Spirit, made in the image of God. There's three, we're made up that way. But a better way to understand it is to orientate our understanding of life, purpose, the Bible, from primarily being a spirit with a tripart function. So let me say it like this. The way to understand it or how we were created is that we've been created to have authority, spirit, soul, and body, in two realms. The spiritual realm and the physical realm. Can you give me 5 more minutes? And then I promise we'll be done, right? I believe where it becomes confusing is we compartmentalize too much spirit, soul, and body. So we deal with spirit over here, and we deal with soul here, and we deal with body here. You might be saying, what is the soul? The soul is often taught that it is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. Our mind, it's our thinker. Our will, it's our chooser. Our emotions, it's our feeler, right? We're made up, and often we compartmentalize these. Where, and this is what the Lord's been teaching me on over the last couple of weeks, is the issue is we have we're made up of three things, but we're talking about two realities, one spiritual and one practical. So what part of my makeup, spirit, soul, and body, how do I obtain the finished work of Jesus in my life? How do I become this person of authority in the spiritual atmosphere? How do I do that? That is the question. And I want you to couple the spirit and the soul closer together than you do the body, okay? I want you to couple because those two things exist in the unseen realm. Those two things exist in the spiritual realm, right? So God makes man a spirit with a physical assignment, which is dominion on the earth through the body. That's how he's going to execute dominion through the body. That's why God forms him out of the dust of the ground, right? Through the body. And as a result, he creates a mind or soul as the vehicle. And I want you to write this word down. As a vehicle slash interface between the spirit and the body. Your mind is the technology that God, I'm using that word again because I want you to really zoom in on this. Your mind is the technology that God put inside of you when he created you as the interface between your spirit man and your body. This is why Paul teaches us that the way that we are transformed is by the renewing of our. Most of the issues you face today are not demonically related, they're thinking related. If you're going on a witch hunt trying to find demons, the place you should start is, has my mind been renewed? In fact, Jesus teaches this when he teaches demonology. And he says, you can cast out a demon, but if you're not ready to live in that freedom, then the devil's come back with more. What's that talking? It's talking to the area of your soul. You've got to have your mind renewed. So that's why God gives us a soul. He gives us a mind because he knows and his plan is for us to have authority both in the spiritual and in the physical. You know that you are the only creation that God has ever made that has been given the wonderful responsibility of having authority in the spirit and in the physical. Have you seen Satan's agenda and how he works that out? How does he do it? Through people. Through lies, through manipulation. But you've been given this, you've been created in a way that you can connect to both. And so man has this duality. The devil hasn't been given this duality. That's why he had to manipulate and lie to and deceive Adam and Eve to sin, who then gave, because the devil can only do things when you through permission given. That's why people perish because of lack of knowledge, because your ignorance is often giving permission for the enemy to work. That's why you're quiet now. We were having so much fun when we were reading the promises of God. But I want you to see today, because I don't want you to just come here and we have great worship and it's fun and it's all the rest, it's powerful, it's incredible. But I want you to realize, and this is where I started with this conversation, in order for us to become people of power, we've got to be people that surrender our minds, surrender this part, the interface between the spirit and the flesh, the spirit and the body to God, the spiritual realm and the physical realm. God is waiting for the sons of God. Creation is waiting for the sons of God to be made manifest. The sons of who? The sons of God, not the sons of Steve or Adam or John, the sons of God. In other words, there's a spiritual dynamic that God's going, I need you to change the way you think, because your thinking is the thing that allows or disallows what I want to do. We read Psalm 78, and we'll just quickly bring it back up there. And Josh, can you jump back up on the keys? It says again and again, they tempted God. They limited. So we're talking about this limitation. How do I get free of the limitations? Or why are the limitations there? And look at this word. It says, they did not remember his power. So in the realm of their mind, they stop thinking about how good God is. They stopped. They got familiar. They stopped thinking about the wonderful grace of Jesus that has provided me with salvation. They stop in the area of their mind, their interface, that place. They stop thinking about, wow, remember that miracle that happened in my life? Remember, maybe this is for you, maybe it's your story. Remember I was totally addicted to A, B, C, or D? And remember how God just loved on me and through His grace and mercy, He completely set me free. And now I'm sitting here, I'm in a right mind and I'm in a sound mind. I have the call of God, they stop thinking about the wonderful work of Jesus. And familiarity and hard hearts creep in. We just become church attenders, wondering where God's power is, wondering why the church is stagnant, wondering why relationship with God isn't working, because we have stopped remembering the works of God. We've stopped remembering, we've stopped thinking about who He is. We've stopped thinking about it. I'll save the other scripture for another time. And so I'm really wanting to set these few messages up with you today, that you would begin to see, hey, I've got to take hold of my thought life. I've got to take hold of my thinking. I've got to take hold of that area of my soul. For some of you, it's in the area of your emotions. Your emotions go wild. One thing happens and it's like, you know, we all know people that are like full drama llamas. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's quite funny in our house, we would at least once a week get something from the school nurse. It was Maya. She's got a little graze on her knee. It's like, my leg's falling off. She's not drama llama, but I'm using a 5-year-old as an illustration just to ease the tension from you nudging your neighbor or anything like that. But what is that? Part of that is a response. It's catastrophizing. It's going to be terrible. No, come on, let's get hold of that. Let's come back to what God's promises are. Let's come back to what God has said. Let's come back to the fact that His word, and He is faithful, and Alicia said it this morning, His word does not return back to Him void. So when He declares it, it is a thing that is going to happen. Come on, somebody. Let's grab these promises and let's start declaring these promises more than we're declaring, I don't feel great. We're not a blab it and grab it type of church. We're not a deny the reality of what's happening kind of church, but we are followers of Jesus that believe that the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And so we're going to fill the atmosphere of this house and of my own personal house and of my own temple and my own thinking with the promises of God. And we are going to declare, you know what, God, I don't understand it right now, but You've got a plan and I trust You, and You're a good God, and You're a healing God, and You're a God that supplies all my needs according to Your riches in glory. You are my shepherd. I shall not lack or want. You are a good God. Come on, somebody say amen today. So why don't we all stand? In closing, let me say this. The way that we obtain the finished work of Jesus. Look at this. I'm going to take you into a scripture. It's in Romans to help you see that you've actually already done this before if you're a born-again Christian. It says, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, we shall be saved. What's happening there? The container, the mouth, is confessing because the mind, like the Holy Spirit allows that to happen, by the way, makes it possible for that to happen so that people are saved, right? That's the Holy Spirit's work. But you participated in your soul giving orders to your body of the reality of what Jesus did in the Spirit. And when you confess with your mouth, right, you use the interface of the area of your soul to bring about the promises of God. And you were gloriously saved. And so this week, this is your assignment, this is your homework, is to find some problems. They're not hard to find, are they? I look in the mirror every morning, well, there I am. Find some problems and find some corresponding promises. Write them on your mirror, print them, put them as your phone background. Set reminders, hey Siri at this time, or everyone's phones are going to go off now. Hey Siri, send me a message about Psalms 91, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But set up your life this week. What are the promises of God? God, I don't know my purpose, but you got a plan for me. Yeah? So let's pray. Come on, close your eyes, lift your hands, and let the Holy Spirit fill you. Father, we thank you for this time. You're a good God. Your promises are yes and amen. We believe it. And Holy Spirit, we are asking that you'd help us, help our minds, Lord. Help us receive from who you are. Change us from the inside out. I'm asking today in the wonderful name of Jesus that the helper, the Spirit, would just be with us this week. I'm praying and I want to declare, as a priest in this house, I want to declare blessing and favor over every single person. I cancel anxiety and fear over every household and every life right now today in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that people are blessed in their coming. They are blessed in their going. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you're opening up new jobs and new employment. I thank you, Father, that you're sustaining those that don't have what they need right now. I thank you, Lord, that you're putting it into the hearts of people, even in this building right now, that have resource that they can give away. You're going to give them opportunities to bless and be a miracle for someone else this week. Lord, I want to thank you for our children. I thank you for our children and for people that have grandchildren, their children, Father. I declare in the name of Jesus, I thank you that this is a generation that will encounter you, that will experience your glory and your love. So, Father, over our young people, Lord, and over, actually, Father, right now, we prophesy Joel 2, Lord, that every generation will receive encounter and blessing from you. And I pray today, Holy Spirit, that you would be with us this week in a tangible, real way. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So please, this week, just surrender yourself to him. Find a problem, find some promises, and allow God to fill that place. This isn't about responding to the front this morning going, I've got a problem, because that's not always the way that God's going to get you out. The way God's going to get you out is by changing inside so that you then can bring about that breakthrough and miracle to so many others too. It's about long-term change, not instant gratification. Great, the problem's gone. No, God wants to do something in here. Yeah? Hey, our prayer team are going to be available. One of the things that we do is the prayer team don't come and stand up the front anymore, but the prayer team are available to pray. So we always like to leave this front section, which in church language we call the altar, because it's where you come and change, you get altered at the altar. So if you want to respond in any way or want to receive prayer or just want to come and worship, you can come and do that by just standing up the front. Our prayer team have a watchful eye out and they'll come and stand alongside you. The first thing that they will do is say, would you like prayer? And if you're just there wanting a time with the Lord, you can just say, no thanks. Or you can even say, get stuffed. We don't mind. Don't say that. That'd be rude. But you say what you need to say. But we do want to stand with you if you do have prayer needs. But we don't want it to be about coming to a prayer person. We want it to be about coming to Jesus, and then we'll stand together with you in prayer, believing that God will bring about whatever breakthrough you need. Amen. Hey, we love you. Don't forget, register for women's retreat. And don't forget, we are here for any women or anyone that can't make the women's retreat. Please know that we will be here next Sunday as well. So God bless you. Parents, if you can check your kids out, that'd be wonderful. And we'll see you soon. God bless you all.